This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Adokshaya. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving, charity, the best process of sacrifice.
To je najbolji proces zadovoljavanja transcendentalne središnje božanske ličnosti poznate kao Adokshaya. Najbolji od svih propisanih principa, strogosti, procesa davanja milostinje i procesa žrtvovanja.
I think we have simultaneous translation, Vida, again.
Yes.
Good. This path of Krishna consciousness has been described to be the very best process in order to bring someone to his natural constitutional position. Often you find that people of this world want to find out what is the normal way of doing things. And because the devotees lead a life which is not, so to say, normal according to the standards of the materialistic society, therefore they don't feel so attracted towards that lifestyle. However, the term normal is highly relative. Imagine you have 11 yellow flowers, 3 red flowers, and 410 velvet flowers, lila. In that group of flowers, the velvet flower is a normal flower, because most of them are like that. Now, of course, we can. Velvet is the color of Madhu Mangal's pullover. That's a velvet. That's a very unusual color for a flower. But within that array of flowers, that is the normal flower. So, in a similar way, in this material world, the majority of people are engaged in sinful activities and in ignorant activities. But because it's the majority, therefore it's the normal standard. You understand what I want to say? So when we live our life, I think this little example shows us we should not really look for what is normal, what the norm does, or what most of the people do. A more intelligent question to ask is, what is natural? This modern society lives a very unnatural life, although most of the people are doing that. It is unnatural because it is removed light years from the actual reality. Srila Prabhupada, in one purport of the 10th canto, gives us a natural life. He gives us a definition what a natural life is. He says, one who understands that the eternal kingdom is his home, who understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only lovable person, and who sees this world as a paraphernalia in order to worship Krishna, he is in his natural position. He is living in the spiritual reality. So three things have to be understood. That the kingdom of God is our eternal home. When you go to Vrindavan, which is situated between Agra and Delhi, you get an understanding what it means to be situated in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world beyond Agra and Delhi. Actually, even Vrindavan on this planet Earth is a place which is not, so to say, just only a geographical area. It is a place where Krishna consciousness can easily be obtained just by staying there and just by living there. Even in Vrindavan, here in this earth, there are two powerful energies working on you. One is the Taraka energy, not like our Taraka. See, that is the name of a gopi, but there is also a Taraka energy. It liberates one from one's karma. That energy you can feel when going to Vrindavan. You feel for the first time in your life like a free person. And then there is the energy called Paraka, that is that energy which fills the thirst of the heart for Krishna with Krishna consciousness. In other words, in Vrindavan, your thirst for Krishna is quenched. Vrindavan in the spiritual world is composed of three qualities, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. And you can constantly hear Krishna's flute in whatever corner of Vrindavan you are. There you will find that all the living entities are conscious living entities who want to serve Krishna. For instance, when Krishna wants to hide from the gopis, the bushes are there and they run to him and give him shelter. It is even described that the milk is a devotee of Krishna there. Yes? There is an interesting little story. Once, you all know, Mother Yashoda was boiling milk. And at the same time, breastfeeding Krishna. So the milk began boiling over. Mother Yashoda left the little Krishna and went to the milk to take care of it. So Krishna began to cry because he still had hunger or thirst or whatever the baby feels. And now I want to ask you the question, wasn't Mother Yashoda's activity, was that really devotional service? Because according to Rupa Goswami, two conditions must be fulfilled for devotional service. One is, it has to be pleasing to Krishna, and the second is, it must be done in a favorable mood. I will give you an answer, I will give you an example. Once there was a man who said whenever he would take something to eat or something to drink, he would eat a tulsi leaf. So also before drinking black tea, or no, it was coffee, he would eat a tulsi leaf. Was that devotional service? because we understand taking tulsis is also a devotional service. According to the definition of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it was not a devotional service, because although it was done in a favorable attitude, this man wanted to please Krishna by taking the tulsi leaf. It was done in a favorable attitude, but the activity in itself was not pleasing to Krishna. So now I'm asking the question, Mother Yashoda, she ran and took care of the milk. She might have had good intentions in her mind. She might have thought, well, the milk is for Krishna. But she was not pleasing Krishna. So was this devotional service? You understand the question? Alex? Madan Gopal? You understand the question? So. You have to explain it again. Do you understand the question? No. Two conditions must be fulfilled for an activity to become devotional service. It must be done in a loving mood, and it must please Krishna. The man had a good feeling. He wanted to please. He wanted to love Krishna by eating the tulsi leaf, but because he drank coffee, it was not pleasing to Krishna. Therefore, it was not devotional service. So Mother Yashoda was also, this is a question, she had a pleasing attitude for Krishna, but Krishna was crying when he put him down on the floor. So was it devotional service? Do you understand the question now? Good. I think no one wants to say, no, it was not devotional service. Because it's Mother Yashoda. I will give you an answer which no one of you can speculate. No one. See, it was devotional service. Why? Because the milk is also a devotee. And when Mother Yashoda was breastfeeding Krishna, and he drank so much, then the milk was afraid, well, if Krishna drinks so much, he will not drink me. He will be full. Therefore, the milk was boiling. So then, no. So Mother Yashoda left him. Krishna, and this way Krishna was still hungry, and in this way Mother Yashoda performed service to the milk, because in this way the milk could serve Krishna. Do you understand that? Good. You must know Mother Yashoda keeps special cows just for Krishna. These cows only eat special herbs, so that the milk is very spicy. It tastes very good. So this milk is also a devotee of Krishna who wants to serve the Lord. That's why Mother Yashoda did devotional service, because we understand you have to go through the devotee to do devotional service. Now it shows you just it's This was just meant to be an illustration how Krishna how the spiritual world is so nice. Even the milk is a devotee. It is a world full of divine consciousness. Nothing is covered with dull matter. And as a result, there is no forgetfulness. Even the little grass thinks, oh, when will Krishna walk over me with this lotus tapala? Then I will take this lotus tapala, take it on the head. That's how nice everything is. No forgetfulness of Krishna. Only Krishna consciousness, everywhere. So we must understand that is our home. We should not think Beograd is our home, the rat town Beograd. Yes, then we must know Krishna is our only object of love. Krishna is able to return our love fully. In this material world, we are looking for rasa. Rasa can be felt in the exchange with people. We like to have friends and talk with them in order to feel something, some happiness. However, this rasa is only a very little reflection of the rasa which we have with Krishna. The example is given when you have a tree with apples which is reflected in a lake. Those reflected apples can never really satisfy you. In a similar way, the relationships here in this material world are only a reflection of the relationships to Krishna, and they are never able to satisfy us. You may be a lover in this material world, you may be a friend to someone in this material world, you may be a brother or a sister to someone in this material world, but this is never the same as if you are a lover or a friend or brother or sister to Krishna. Krishna is actually able to return our love, and therefore he is the only object of our love. He will never disappoint anyone who sincerely turns to him in love and devotion. Even Srimati Radharani was when she was in the rasa dance, she was not satisfied that Krishna showed all the other gopis the same affection like Krishna showed her. So she left the rasa dance. Then Krishna felt, oh, without Radha, the rasa dance is not complete. So he followed her into the forest of Vrindavan, and at that particular moment he spent some time with Radharani. So after some time, my dear Krishna, I'm so tired, now you can carry me wherever you want. This way she showed a little bit of her pride. She wanted Krishna to carry her. So Krishna said, just climb on my back. And when Radha was going to do that, she found there was no Krishna. Krishna didn't like her to become proud. So then Srimati Radharani was thrown in an ocean of lamentation. Oh, Krishna, you're not there any longer. She was crying and crying and crying. And finally Krishna appeared to her. And at that time, Radha asked him three questions. My dear Krishna, never disappoint your devotee again. See, this is the glory of Srimati Radharani. Although she was personally hurt, she thought of all of us. She desired a benediction not for herself, but for all of us. She said, any devotee who lives in the hope of attaining you as the only object of love, please never disappoint his hopes. And Krishna said, da. So now, by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, who brings us the conditioned souls to Krishna, we also have hopes that if we just understand Krishna is my friend, my lover, my everything, our hopes will not be disappointed, but they will be completely fulfilled. So now a devotee also, this is the third thing, he should understand that the material world is there as paraphernalia for worship. Just like when our city stands before the altar and the arati plate, he will first purify each article with 3 drops of water, and then he will wave it before Krishna to offer it as an offering. In the same way, we must understand this world can be used in worship of Krishna, but only in a purified way. It's not that we think, oh, I will go into the disco of Novishat I will think this is all for Krishna. This is not good. We only can use things in a purified way. That means things which can be connected with Krishna. Sankirtan is the best way of using this world in Krishna's service. We have a car, but we don't drive to a place of sense gratification. We drive to the street. Our Bhakta Acha is driving us. We have books which we offer to the people. And in turn, the people offer us half of their salary. or some price for the books. So this is a good example how in the Sankirtan Yajna, the material energy, cars, money, are used in the worship of Krishna. To go on the street means to worship Krishna, because you bring conditioned souls which have been so long away from Krishna back to Krishna devotional service. That's the perfect sacrifice. It's like the puja of in Kali Yuga. We offer Krishna not lamps but conditioned souls, a garland of souls. So a devotee who is on Sankirtan should understand what he is doing is a great service. And today I want to talk a little bit on Sankirtan. I was talking to a few of you already about this. See, in our movement, a certain style of Sankirtan has become the standard style. It is mass book distribution. Srila Prabhupada wanted that as many transcendental pieces of literature are distributed to the fallen people of Kali Yuga, because by the quantity, he was sure that there would be people who would read it. He wanted that books are injected, so to say, in the sinful bloodstream of the society, just like a medicine, as much as possible. And now devotees like Rohini Sutta Prabhu, Manidhara, Tripurari, Harinamananda, these devotees have set the standard. They were able to distribute so many literature, sometimes 300 to 500 books a day, much more than you do in one week. Devotees here in this part of the world cannot distribute so many because the economic situation is like in Bangladesh. So I feel a new understanding of Sankirtan has to come. And that new understanding is a qualitative distribution. You can be rest assured that whoever takes a transcendental piece of literature from you and gives like half of his salary, I heard, because that's the price, he will for sure read the book. And in this way, Prabhupada's desire that people read the books are fulfilled. In the West, often someone, you know, just takes a book because the book distributor looks so nice and is such a nice person and smiles nice or makes a good joke. And to give 10 marks for a book, it's really nothing. You can almost find 10 marks in every waste paper basket on the street. You know, someone has just, out of mistake, put it there. It's nothing special. But here it is different. So, therefore, you can be rest assured that people who have paid such a high price will easily buy the read these books, and they will change their life. And you can actually see practically that this is so. In Yugoslavia, more people are actually interested in Krishna consciousness than in Western countries. So the goal of our preaching, which is to interest people for the path back home, back to Godhead, has been reached by this qualitative book distribution. You should feel great pride in being there with the book and just waiting and just trying to offer it to as many people as possible, until someone says, "Oh, this is a very nice thing. I'm very interested in spiritual life. Like I received a letter just a few weeks ago, where one devotee was writing me that one person took 12 big books. Imagine, 12 Bhagavad, and he said, oh, I always wanted to read these kind of books. I'm so thankful that you got them all. I'm receiving letters where people who are very, who look very bad and disinterested, show great interest all of a sudden to read these books and get transcendental information and change their life. So a devotee should feel very happy to be out there with the people. He should only learn one thing, and that is to remember Krishna and not forget him while he is there distributing books. And for that effect, I wanted to give you this little transcendental formula today, which I feel can change your life completely. Prabhupada, I said it already, you should know that your home is not this material world. You stay here like in a train station, just for a few more hours, until the train comes and brings you home back to Godhead. And whilst you're standing here, you do something meaningful. You distribute the books to increase the numbers of those who are in Krishna's family, so to say. And you should understand, well, I have no one and nothing to love in this world. This is a world of illusion, a world of temporary matter. And I am put my attention on Krishna. And then you do a puja in the train station, which is Sankirtan. You engage the material energy in Krishna's work. This is very important for a devotee to be able to go on Sankirtan and to remain on Sankirtan, that he understands these three points. Otherwise, he might not know what he is doing when he is out on Sankirtan. He might think, well, I'm standing around, it's cold, the snow is there. Maybe today, I will distribute 15 books, that's all. Or I will distribute only 5 books, that's all. Nothing interesting happens today. Just go around on the street and freeze around. But this is actually a wrong understanding. Devotee on Sankirtan should understand, I'm doing puja for Krishna. I'm trying to engage the material energy in his service. And I'm qualifying to go back to Krishna in this lifetime just by doing this service in a steady way. In fact, I feel everyone should go out on Sankirtan. Why only a few? A list of how many? 10 people? Or 13 people? What? 18? Not 15. There were a couple. Srinivas was not there. Baba Tarini was not there. Natalia was not there. Who else? Srivas was not there. Zali was not there. But also others. You should feel like being perfectly at home in doing this Sankirtan. It's our family business. See, when you have a musician, when there is a family of musicians, like the Mozart family. Everyone was playing something. Some piano. So everyone should know how to do this, how to offer that literature in a very nice way. Everyone has to know. I also know how to distribute a little bit, not much. Everyone has to know this. It's not a sale, it's not a business. It is giving Krishna to people. Madhu Mangal should know it. Bhakta Seyat should know it. Yes. Petara should know it. Everyone should not be afraid. This is what we believe in. We know that this is the truth. We know that there is nothing higher than this. We should bring it to our friends, our family members. Even if you are a friend of Lord Krishna, why give a foolish Christmas gift or birthday gift? Give a transcendental book and give some light into the people of this hopelessly fallen Kali Yuga time. So for this, of course, we need to cultivate one important qualification. This qualification is determination. Determination is only possible for someone who has a higher goal in his life. For someone who doesn't have a higher goal, determination is almost impossible. He will be on the mental platform where he will only look for his own pleasures. I want to give you a nice example in this connection. When the dog wants to pass over a street, he usually can't do so, because the moment a nice smell comes into the house, he is lost. He has to go where the smell is. Have you noticed? Sometimes dogs are killed by cars because they are in the process of crossing the street, but in the midst of the street some smell comes and they want to find out from where it comes, and then that is the end in their body. So that is because their goal is not higher than just the sensual and mental pleasures which they experience. In a similar way, the conditioned soul is hopelessly bound to the sensual and mental pleasures, and therefore he cannot follow a goal with strong determination. In the scriptures, the example of the different animals have been given in order to illustrate how much the material life diverts the soul from Krishna. When you have a fish, the fish likes to eat. Although the whole lake is full of foodstuffs, there's one silver thing which begins to interest the fish very much, and he tries to eat it and is dragged out of the water. He couldn't control his tongue. The bee is attracted to the lotus flower and eats what is the pollen of the lotus flower. At the night, the lotus closes and the bee becomes a prisoner of the lotus and dies. Because he was so attracted, so the sense of smell actually is sense of smell. The deer likes nice music, so the hunter in the forest plays on his flute. And then the deer comes and hears it and becomes drunken from the music. And as a result, the hunter kills him. The elephant is an example for the sense of touch. He is hungry for sex life, and he runs to the she-elephant, who cleverly leads him past I don't know how it is called, a hole in the earth, and he falls chuck into the hole in the earth and is captured. So in this way Shastra gives us an example how our senses drag us away from our real benefit in life. So someone who is not spiritually enlightened cannot have a goal which is beyond the pleasures of the senses. He more or less is like one of these animals, or like all of five of these animals, or four of these animals, hopelessly bound to material life. Like we heard yesterday, someone who is in this situation, hopelessly bound to material life, he is always dragged away from his real interest. So in the human form of life, another, it's not just the senses, but also the drag us away from spiritual life. And unfortunately, the new beginner in Krishna consciousness is not careful enough with his mind. And sometimes we find young devotees who play around with the mind, who like to watch the cinema of the mind, although the film is a decadent film, a degraded film. They think, well, now I'm in spiritual life, what can happen to me? Let me watch this movie of the mind. Whatever happens, it is, it won't be very dangerous for me. So that is a very dangerous viewpoint. A Krishna conscious devotee must be afraid to fall down. He must avoid the causes of fall down. One cause for fall down is if you accept too many material things. If you become too interested in good tape recorders, good clothing, good schminka, and so on and so forth. Or if you eat too much, if you constantly eat too much, you will constantly fall asleep in the morning class. Like, oh, congratulations. I thought you would be, your head would be on the shoulder of Bhakta Uwe. Peacefully sleeping. So, if you have money and you don't spend it for devotional service, that is also very bad. You must be very careful, especially on Sankirtan, to not use the money which is given to you for your own good, your own life. It must be engaged in Krishna service. Then, each one of us has some amount of energy, isn't it? Some energia. Yeah, the energy shirt, Bhakti Dalibor, has a lot of energy. It's already on his shirt, the Energia shirt he has. But if you don't use it for Krishna service, then what is the use of the energy? Now, Bhakti Dalibor is very shocked. Even his good tape recorder is shocked. Then there is in every cause for fall down. Then another cause for fall down is if you don't engage yourself in hearing and chanting, if you say, no time for hearing and chanting, I must do slujpa. This is the Beograd formula. I must do slujpa. So that I'm very tired in the morning, then I will not be able to rise. Then I will chant my rounds somehow during the day. This is very dangerous. It is described by Rupa Goswami as one cause of fall down. I think I gave the example already. When you want to go with a car somewhere and you say, no time to put benzene in the car, then you won't drive very fast. We must have something here. Otherwise only our is there, which tells us, the blues. It will be hankering or lamenting. That's the blues. The blues only has two notes, hankering and lamenting. Hankering and lamenting. If we don't hear and chant about Krishna and his activity, then we will also talk prajalpa all day. We will talk only prajalpa. Then our life will be not very ecstasy. Then we must follow the orders of our spiritual master, but not just officially. Like there's one boy amongst us. Whenever the guru is there, then he goes like, and the minute he is gone, he becomes a little monkey. So this is not the way we should follow the orders of the spiritual master. This is nothing. This is not very good. This is important. We must not just out of formula and officially stick to the principles of devotional service, but we must do it with our sritska. Sritam. Sritam. Not sritam. When is it sritska?
Never.
Yeah, Sritska is much better. That's important. We have to put our heart where our action is. And we will only be able to do so if we understand deeply about the mission. For instance, about Sankirtan. We can't put our sritzam where the Sankirtan is if we don't understand deeply about the mission. And finally, yes, two other things. If we all of a sudden become highly interested in material things, greedy for material things, that's also a cause of fall down. And finally, I wanted to mention, if we associate with people who are not devotees in a way which is, which is not good for, you know, with our family members, or if we associate with old friends and talk with old girlfriends, this might be very difficult for our, this might be a cause of fall down for our spiritual life. So, a devotee who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness must be careful. The disease of material existence is not completely cured. At this particular stage, when we still have no spontaneous attraction, there's every cause for fall down. It can be very easy that we fall down. Just like if you had a cold, and you are not careful, you can easily catch the cold again. Before I came to Yugoslavia this time, I was suffering for I believe 3 weeks from a cold. I had not a minute time to lay down, you know, and cure the cold. I always had to run. Now I know, if I don't have this thing on, then there's every possibility that the voice again will get a cold and I will not be able to speak on the programs. What to speak of singing? Anyways, I can't sing at all, but if the voice gets a cold, then it just sounds like hell. So, yeah. So that we must be in a similar way, very careful, so that no fall down happens in our life. So Hare Krishna, I want to end here. Thank you very much for hearing patiently the different points. Thank you also for having become devotees. So nice to be with our Beograd devotees. Such nice devotees. Because the feeling is very nice here. This is another point I wanted to make at the end. This temple is one of the best temples in our zones. Do you know this? It looks so interesting as a temple room. And at least for sitting there is enough place. For dancing it is... if this would be covered, then we could dance like anything. Yeah, but also yesterday it was not bad. We could run around there. It was all right. This is certainly the best temple in our movement. In our movement, I wouldn't say in Europe. Maybe it's the best temple in our movement because the people are so friendly here. We have good news. Our Igor from yesterday has put a very nice movie or documentation in the TV. Yes. Beogradsky TV. So good. Namaste Narasimhaya. And then a little interview. And very good. This is very rare. I also think if the devotees endeavor a little bit, they can be regularly on radio, because people are very friendly. You remember the radio lady from last night? Yes, very nice. And the people in Yugoslavia are so open and so interested in spiritual things. But I feel the devotees here in the temple must learn to cooperate more. When we lived in Sumatovachka, everything was very small. It was like being in one family room, sleeping with mother and father in the same bed, you know. You remember? When we were, there was always a blissful chaos. I would always stay in Akrura's room, I remember. I became part of the Akrura family. It was very nice because it was so private. Everything was so private. And we would, even in winter time, like this time, we would more or less live outside, eat outside. And I remember the first time I met Alex and Natalia, I think you were standing outside and looking into the temple room. I somehow have this impression that at the Sunday feast, people always looked in the room, isn't it? Because even when it was winter, and they eat, because there was no place. Now we have such a big temple where everyone can hide perfectly. Many hiding places. This is a tendency which is seen there in all our big temples. Devotees don't cooperate so much together because everything is so isolated. That's a danger in a big temple. All our big ISKCON temples suffer from this problem. But here in Beograd this doesn't have to be so, because still we are very young in this new temple. We should become a little bit more enthusiastic for those activities which are for preaching. Like, I want to again make the point which Srila Harikesh Maharaj always makes. Every devotee should go on Friday for Sankirtan. This is very important for the spirit. We must uphold the spirit in this temple. That it is always a spirit of selfless surrender. Look, for instance, a devotee like Vladan. Vladan is a nice devotee, like all of you. And, you know, there are two ways to live one's life. One is to live it a little comfortable, and the other is to put a little bit more energy. When Vladan wants, like 1 week he distributed so many books, isn't it, Iveshvara? 1 week. We all thought our ears were falling to the ground. We couldn't. It was so amazing. Every one of you has reserves in you. You will be amazed. You're doing only 1/10 of what you can do. Because we are not enthusiastic enough, because we don't think of Krishna enough, because we don't go to the morning program enough. Therefore, our energy is not there 100%. This temple, we should have preaching members, not sleeping members. Yes, it may sound shocking, but it is a fact. This temple should be like an aratik lamp, which is offered to Krishna with everything in it. This is a point I wanted to make. In Berlin, we always we are very aware of this. Before we got a temple, we lived in apartments under bridges, so to say. Bhakta Uwe, this is Bhakta Uwe from Berlin, he got to know Krishna consciousness in the apartment of Mahadev, sitting, you know, in the midst of Bhima and Sita. These are our small babies in Berlin. Uwe sat there, Bhima sat. And all the time the telephone was ringing, and so many things were going on at 1 second in the apartment. You lost your mind when you were there. So when we went into the temple, which we have now, we understood it is very important to do something, and that all the temple devotees must be involved. We did a nice Ratha Yatra festival. I personally think a Ratha Yatra in Beograd would be so good. It would make us famous in Beograd, like anything. And there is, if we get the police to come, if it is registered, there is no fear from Chetniks. No problem. We can go to Smensky Kailovsky and just have, you know. So we did a Ratha Yatra. Then we had a very nice deity installation. You should have seen our deity installation. We went into the courtyard and we did the deity installation right in the outside. The Turks were looking, the little Turkish boys were going, it was ecstasy. I remember we had a concert in the courtyard up till it became so late. We just played and played Hare Krishna. The whole town was just overwhelmed with the sound of the holy name. So this is how we should live our life in Krishna consciousness. Use everything in Krishna service. Fully. Also our friends of Lord Krishna. They should be very active. This temple costs a lot of Lakshmi. They should give donations from their own income. I want to help for Krishna's temple, for the deities. I want that the Bhojanstha gets a nice mango today. There are many things you can do. Bring friends to the temple, the Sunday feast. Somehow we can make our life Krishna-centered. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very, very much. Are there any questions to all of this? It is clear, isn't it?
What is your name? Srivastav. Ah, yeah, sorry. Srivastav, please.
Heard the explanation about the Krishna's killing of the demons, that the demons that are killed by Krishna, they represent anattas that are destroyed in us by Krishna's mercy. But the demons that are killed by Balaram, they represent anattas that we should overcome ourselves. So he doesn't understand this because he knows that everything is happening by Krishna's mercy. So how to understand this?
Yes. Balaram killed two demons. My subject. That is Denukasura and Pralambasura. So, Denukasura, let me find out. In Vrindavan I gave lectures on all the demons. It was very ecstatic. Let me just tell you one. Well, maybe it's too long. Denukasura represents gross material intellect, the lack of pure knowledge, of Krishna conscious knowledge. So it's very interesting what Denukasura did. Denukasura was guarding the fruits of one forest so that no one could enjoy it. That's what a person who has gross material intellect and no pure knowledge does. He doesn't want any, he doesn't enjoy, so he doesn't want others to enjoy also. Denukasura is an example of no spiritual knowledge. And you will like to know, he was in his previous life the son of Bali. His name was Sahasika. And he once went into a mountainous area and enjoyed with 10,000 women at once. Do you know how? This is really a rascal. So, you know, they were singing and dancing and making sex life. And, I mean, it was a whole show. And at that time, Durvasa Muni, the great yogi, was in a cave trying to meditate. And he was disturbed by the sounds of the ankle bells, the musical instruments. And he came out of his cave. He was extremely thin because he had meditated for a long time. He had a long beard, wooden sandals, clunk, 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 clunk. And he was holding a stick. And when he looked at Suhasika with his 10,000 women, he was glowing with anger. Fire was coming. And he began to curse him. And when Durvasa Muni started to curse, the whole universe trembled. Because he was so powerful. He said, "You fool! Become an ass!" So at that time, Sahasika said, "Oh no, I didn't know your power, nor did I know that you were meditating in the cage. Please protect me." And at that time, Durvasa said, "All right, Moshe, you will attain liberation in the end of Dwarapara Yuga, when Krishna appears and performs his transcendental leela. But you will be killed by Balaram, and in this way attain your spiritual body and go back home, back to Krishna." So you can see, in his previous life, he also had no intelligence. He just wanted to enjoy. And because he was a powerful demigod, he did this with 10,000 women. So when he took birth as a Magarats, he was so proud. He thought himself to be the lord and master of this forest, and no one was allowed to enter. He was actually very, very powerful. He ate men alive, and even birds wouldn't go over the forest because he would be able to expand his form and eat the birds for breakfast. So Balaram was taking him and whirling him around and threw him on the tree. This way took his life. So now our Srivas has put the question, when we meditate about this leela, we should understand that we have to fight this ourselves. That is a fact. Our gross material knowledge, our ignorance, has to be fought ourselves. Therefore we stress so much that you must read the books. That is your fight against the ignorance. You can't say, "Oh, by Krishna's milosti, I will get all the knowledge. I will wake up one morning at 7 o'clock and then I will have all the knowledge." You must endeavor for it yourself. You must follow the example of Jira Prashanta. Are you still he still has a nice sadhana, isn't it? Yes. We must all follow the example of Dhira Prashanta, our savior. I think you have understood in your life that if you don't have a sadhana, you are finished, isn't it? No hope. You can talk with Dhira Prashanta about his realizations. If there is a devotee who has some good example, and we must go to him and ask, "What is your realization? Why are you doing this? Tell us. Have some milost on us." So this is a good example. I remember Hare Krishna Maharaj, when he came to Germany, we all had the same philosophy as you have now. We thought Well, somehow it will come. We just do a lot of sluchba, then we will be enlightened in the heart. So then Arikesh Maharaj was asking us, all right, so let us hear how enlightened you are. Tell us a little bit about the knowledge. No one knew anything. He said, see, we have to read. This Denukasura S will always be in our life, in our heart, if we don't endeavor to get more transcendental knowledge. But if we endeavor, Balaram will come. Finish him. Very nice question, Shiva. Thank you very much. And Mr. Energy Man.
Ja sam da pitam za Urdhva Pundu, to je put na gore, kada su te rane tako, šta se dešava s vami? Urdhva Pundra, to je put na gore, kada se ustaje pre 4 sata. Pa energija koja ide na gore, ko pomaže, jednostavno, Pa ja nisam isto tako dobro razumio, jer samo posljedno pitanje. Bez toga.
Urdhva Pundra means part aqua.
Yes. The tilak is called Urdhva Pundra. Because it goes upwards.
But he is connecting this with rising up early and rising the energy.
If you want to rise early, there's one secret. You must go early to bed and if possible have a regulated life. For instance, now I'm on the preaching program. And the life is very irregulated. Like the day before yesterday, Uwe said to me, oh, it's only 12 o'clock in the night. That's very early. What's the matter? Let us preach some more. That's how unnormal our life has become on the preaching program. How unregulated we have become. So then you just feel so tired all the time. I could go to bed now. I don't do it, but if you live regulated, don't eat too much, go early to bed, it will be very easy for you to rise early. See, no one should just feel asleep when he does his rounds. Better to take some extra rest, you know, and be fully concentrated at the rounds. But you can go to bed. You as a Sangitan devotee can sleep regularly. I remember when I was on Braj Mandal Parikram, we would always go very early to bed because it became dark early. And it was such a trouble to have light. So we just went to bed at 8 o'clock or so, like little babies. So then at 3 o'clock in the morning, we were so strong, you know, we couldn't sleep any longer. There was no need of an alarm clock because we were regularly going early to bed. That's the secret. And then here we get healthy food. I think Vladan makes nice bread for energy. Not a mystical thing. To rise early. only practical. You should ask dear Prashanta what he does to get up early. Not so complicated, isn't it? Just go to bed early and try to live a regulated life. One thing I've noticed, Beograd is a little like Berlin. When you go to Berlin, you also immediately get tired. Because it's such a passionate town. But even worse is Skopje. When you only come near to Skopje, you're immediately tired. Isn't it? Because Berlin is passion, Beograd is passion and ignorance, but Skopje is pure ignorance. Unalloyed ignorance. So here we have a good chance. Anyways, I think we have come to a natural end. Thank you. Hare Krishna.